Today on a spine-chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a woman recounts the chilling days of staying in a haunted house. A house that should have been filled with happy family memories. Instead, was many layers deep in supernatural presences. What do these spirits want? And do they still haunt the grounds where this house once stood, that is now an elementary school? That story and more, today, on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hey, become an EPP extra podcast person. When you do that, that's a supporter of our show. You get access to all of our episodes even before they're released to the public, all ad-free. You also get the whole archive, which literally is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Nothing bigger. You get all of that. Again, all ad-free. And then you get the EPP bonus episodes and other bonus stuff that we put out all the time for you. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories or search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the show. And what's going on?
Well, Tony, I know that this show airs in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when. But I did want to take a moment just to acknowledge that the other day my dog turned 16 and a half.
Woo!
Isn't that not the sweetest?
Yes.
And like, I know a lot of people follow him on Instagram or on my Facebook page, because that's primarily what I post about. Because anymore, it's, I swear, you post about anything else and people jump down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
But I post a lot about him. But, you know, and he's doing pretty well, all things considered. But I do have an extremely geriatric dog, and so, but he's been really good, like, for the last week or so. I just had to share that with the world.
Yes, I think it's awesome that you...
Thank you.
...are celebrating the dog being that old, and the fact that he keeps going. It's just like, oh my goodness. And this is interesting, because you've been... I mean, it sounds kind of morbid, but it's almost been like the last 3 years or so. It's like, is this month going to be the month? Is this month going to be the month?
And well, definitely the last year he's been on hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it's been a little over a year that he's basically been on hospice. But when you have a dog that's, you know, even 15, you have a dog that's 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what's nuts.
I know.
So I'm very, very lucky.
It's quite interesting, because you once got a gift at a workplace that involved, again.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're
going to
say.
To someone, you know, predicting the future or thinking they're going to.
Because I think it was 12 or 13,
mm-hmm.
maybe 13. And this girl I worked with, she was like, I got you a present. And I'm like, you don't open. And some people might be familiar with this story. I'm just going to share it again. But so I'm like, I didn't know her that well. She hadn't worked there that long. Awkward. You know, it's like, no, really, you don't have to give me anything. No, I got you something. And I'm like, no, really. And then so she's like, yeah, I'm going to give it to you. I'm just warning you, it can make you cry. And so I'm like, you really sure you want to give me a gift that's going to make me cry, like in a good cry way? And she goes, oh, no. And I'm like, I don't know that I want that gift. Oh, yeah, you're really going to appreciate it. So she comes in my office and shuts the door and gives me that look like, And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So she gives me this gift and kind of squatted down next to me and everything. Because I only had one chair in my office.
Yeah.
So she's like looking at me, and I open it up. I am not shitting you. It was a dog urn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh. And she goes, I know. But, you know, it's going to be really hard, but you're going to need this in the future. And, you know, at least this way you've got some place to put him. Like, can we not take care of that shit when it happens?
Yeah.
And then, so I can't set it down fast enough. because I'm totally freaked out. It was just like, I don't want this. I don't want to look at this. And then I realize there's something else in the box. And I look at her and she goes, yeah, there's something else in there.
What more?
I know. And so I pull it out and it's a necklace. And before I can really discover what it is, she says, that's to put some of his ashes in so you can wear it all the time and keep him with you. And I said to her, I go, you do realize that my dog's not dead, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, he's really old. I'm like, number one, the urn that you put your pet in is kind of a personal thing. And honestly, like most of my pets, it's just like, okay, that's fine. It's just like, you know, I don't know. It's just a very like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And, but no, she wanted me to be prepared. So then I could have been like having all this grief, but telling them I have my own urn.
And I got it as a gift from work from this woman I barely knew.
And I need to put some of the ashes in the necklace that I have so I can wear them with me.
Like what
wear them on me always.
What is going through a person's mind when they give a gift? Are they like, is there something in their mind where they're like, and then someday, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, or maybe 4 weeks when her dog's dead, we'll go to breakfast and
I'll notice her necklace and it'll be like, aren't you glad you have that?
And we'll touch hands for a moment and cry for a second and then order omelets.
Right? I don't know. I think we still follow each other on Instagram. I should look. But I would think she'd be like, awkward.
A little bit.
I gave her that gift a really long time ago and her dog is still going. Yeah. It was truly the weirdest gift I've ever received in my life.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
And just in case anybody's wondering, I took it home and I put it in my closet and just left it there. And then one day I was cleaning out my closet and I came across it and it might've been when I moved. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I threw it away. I'm like, that is just a horrible
reminder
all the time. Like, My dog's gonna die.
What would you have done if the very next day he died?
Guess I would have gotten another one. I would have had to order my own necklace or ashes. I'm not even the type of person who would do that. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't wear that. I wouldn't.
I don't. Yeah. No.
Not me.
I think that's a little strange. I mean, and here's the thing that freaks me out about that sort of thing. You lose shit. And that's like one I don't think I would be really good with losing, you know, whether it be where they turn the ashes into a diamond and it's on a ring or in a necklace or whatever, or sometimes there is just the necklaces that have the ashes in. We're all fallible and we all lose things. That to me is just like, I'm not even going to, that's like you need the fucking, you know, like the armored truck to transport things like that, where you'd always be very, it's one of those things that when you're moving, it's riding in the car with you. You know, it's one of those things that's not going to get any chance of getting lost somewhere.
Now, I am the person who has like several deceased pets in my house because I have little boxes. And I think if you came over, you wouldn't go, oh my God, is that your dog, Jess? Mm-hmm. Or is that Lily or Jim? And like, I do have them in different rooms in my house. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind having them around at all. Oh, sorry. I got to throw something at my cat. My cat keeps running across the house and jumping on my blinds.
Grab an axe.
And so before we started this episode, I got a whole basket full of cat toys. So they're just ammunition. I throw a cat toy to distract him. Dang cat.
Yeah.
So if you hear something and me going, ah, it's me like getting a cat toy.
Getting the cat toy. All right. So yeah, there you go. The joys of the urn gift. So if you're thinking
at work.
If you're thinking of, you know, trying to fit in, not a good gift to give.
And if you're thinking about getting me something for my birthday, which isn't until next year, but don't need it. Don't want it.
But what if somebody sent you their chihuahua that's been turned into a diamond and it's now a necklace for you to treasure for all times?
Or if somebody's going, dang, I wish Carol had given me that urn.
Yeah. Well, we also need to make note that the reason that she has her different pets in different rooms is because she has different altars in different rooms for different purposes. So whichever animal she thinks will actually help with the execution of the curses that Carol likes to put on people, that's the altar in which that animal lies at. I think little context there is important. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
There we go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. The scary thing is there's so many people trying to do a ghost podcast now that I can guarantee you there's literally some serious conversation that went just like that. And people are like, okay, yes, good idea.
Great.
Yeah, that's a little much for me in terms of like, yeah. Hey, Tony and co-host of the day. This is Heather from South Jersey. I know it's been a while since I've written in. It's been a long past year with the pandemic. I've been out of work, remote school with my children. With all this time out of work, I had a lot of time to think about my experiences. After playing some catch up on the podcast, after some reason, life experiences, my third eye seems to have in many more ways than I have ever imagined, which also leads to my story I'm about to tell you. It took place about the time that I was around 7 to 8 years old. So about 25 years ago, a little background goes to the story. It's over 100 years old. The town is over 100 years old and has been renamed over the years and was once a fort during George Washington's presidency. Prior to that, Native Americans also lived throughout the area. There's much more background in history. Before gambling became legal and during the alcohol prohibition, illegal activities took place here. The home no longer exists in its present day. Today, it's part of the grounds of a new school for the town. My aunt and uncle resided in a 5-bedroom row home with 1.5 bathrooms. As early as I could remember, parts of the house seemed a bit creepy to me. The dark, narrow hallways to the bathroom upstairs, leading to one of my cousin's bedrooms on the 3rd floor with narrow, steep steps. I always felt very uneasy when I would visit. I often felt like I was constantly being watched. My cousin and I would play and run through the house like kids do, and a few of us may have been standing at the bottom of the steps to the 2nd floor. If it was often dark, no matter what time of day, we'd often stop to talk to each other for a minute at the spot. A few times, we'd go quiet for a couple of seconds. I'd hear inaudible whispering coming from upstairs or sometimes all around us. I was sure if anyone else heard it, so no one seemed to mention it at all. Another day, I had to go to the bathroom pretty badly, so of course I ran to the 1st floor bathroom, and of course it was occupied. As this occurred during a family party, the day came where I had to go so badly I could not wait. I had to bring up the courage to go up those creepy dark stairs to the 2nd floor by myself. I was very nervous, but nature was calling and I had to go. Right up the steps as quickly as I could, I burst into the bathroom quickly and slammed the door. The bathroom was huge. It was a full bathroom, but also had plenty of room to move around, get dressed, do makeup and such. As I sat to do my business, I looked around the room and it was definitely quiet, away from the party. I once again heard more whispering as though there were people right behind me talking amongst themselves. Once again, I quickly turned and saw nothing. I definitely heard what sounded like a conversation amongst voices in the corner of the room behind me. My eyes raised with fear like I was going to see something. I just was not ready to see. Part of me always thought, nah, it's not to be. My twin cousins, it's just them messing with me. It definitely was not. I was completely alone in the biggest bathroom I had ever seen. I washed my hands and dashed to the door, hoping a few of my cousins were in the hallway waiting to greet me and come play. I opened the door to a dark, dim-lit hallway, just from lights of the bedrooms down the hall from outside. No one was upstairs with me. I ran so quickly down the steps, I may have even skipped a few. I was having so much fun with my cousins that I was allowed to spend the night. This was a big deal for me, as I lived in a different state at the time. As the party ended, we sat, played some Nintendo, then we played some board games and other stuff we came up with. At some point, it was time for bed. We stayed up until 10 or 11. I slept on the floor next to my cousin's bed. Lights went out. As much as I was trying to fall asleep, I just couldn't. Ran to that big bathroom, came back, and heard nothing but my feet going thud across the wooden floor as I ran through the hall. I quickly ran back to the bedroom and landed pretty hard at the spot I was going to sleep in. The lights were out. Two of my cousins were drifting off to sleep. I nudged the next one to me to see if they were still awake, even enough to talk. The response was a sleepy groan and then snores. I tried so very hard to relax and go to sleep. I heard the whispers again, and I saw some silhouette of shadows in the darkened bedroom. I quickly nudged my cousin. This was about a half an hour or so later. I shouted their name and no response. I stood up and they were both out cold. I turned on the light and turned to see if I could see anyone or anything in the room. My cousins were out cold. I quickly ran down the hallway to my aunt and uncle's bedroom and woke up my aunt to tell her what I'd seen and heard. She told me not to worry. They won't harm me or bother me. She walked me back to the room. I laid down and she turned off the light. I was finally able to pass out for the night. After that, I never slept over in that house again. I later spoke to my aunt about that night. She confirmed that yes, in fact, that house was very haunted, filled with many spirits. They saw and heard them over the years and stated, we coexisted with them. We didn't bother them, and they didn't bother us much. But they made themselves known. This confirmation came many years later, after all was said and done. I've had many more experiences and more stories to tell, but this is one of my earliest childhood memories that I will never forget. Although the house is gone, the memories are still there. Hope you enjoyed the story. I'm a regular listener for the past 4 years and listen daily at work, as I've just returned in September. Hope you're well. Thank you for this outlet. Thoughts on all that?
Well, it reminded me of when I was a kid, because we had that haunted house, and the downstairs bathroom was okay, but it was the upstairs bathroom. So I remember that feeling like, I do not want to go to the upstairs bathroom, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And like during the day, it would be okay, but at night, like it didn't matter. Like I would have wet the bed before it had gone in that bathroom at night.
Really?
And before I had walked down the stairs to the bathroom, like I wouldn't have done that either. But yeah, so that really made me think of that. There's just something about it that was creepy. Now, how people, I don't get this, and I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe you learn if the presence in your house isn't threatening and you don't really, it's not scary, but just hearing it and hearing voices like that would scare me. But it's like they were okay with it.
Yeah, there was some peace that seemed to be made, but still.
Yeah. I don't know how you can do that.
It'd be very hard, especially if you're a kid.
But it's also kind of nice, I think, to have it acknowledged. And then you're like, okay, what I did experience really did happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, nice that, or what the actual term for that would be, but it maybe, you know, it's validating to know, okay, that really did happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't crazy. And so I think that's good to know that it wasn't just you.
Yeah.
That's an interesting story.
It was. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
I called the other day and my call got cut off, and I have not had a chance to call back until now, and I wanted to wait until it was later in the evening and it was quiet. So I will repeat. I think most of the first thing I was telling you got recorded. In the event that it didn't, I'll just repeat it, and then I'll tell the, I had another thing to say, actually. So that's what got cut off. So anyway, last weekend, my parents visited, my husband and I, and I told them about your podcast. And my dad was, I mean, they both loved it, but my dad was like, this is great, you know, and I told them, you know, to explain to him, you know, people call in, and he didn't understand at first. He's like, are they live? And I'm like, no, they just call in, and then they play they play the recorded stories. And I go, it's really nice that so many people are willing to share what they've been through, because sometimes, you know, we are judged or whatever. And my dad brought up something that his sister not his sister's family, so this is his sister-in-law. The story that, and I know because I remember this, she had told my mom, and I do remember this story now. I had just forgot about it. It was probably when I was in college. My aunt's sister-in-law, her father was dying, and it was, you know, obviously really tragic. He was in the hospital. He'd been in the hospital for a while. And it was sad. Most of his kids were all, they were all adults. So they were like, you know, everybody was going back and forth from the hospital to their homes and, you know, taking care of their children and all that. And it was just at the same time really tragic to see, you know, their father die. And one of the sisters, so this, you know, would be my aunt's sister-in-law. There were more than one, though. I want to say there was like four kids. And I just don't know, you know, who exactly who everybody was. But I do remember that this was, I'm not going to say the name just for their, you know, their own anonymity, but she decided one evening just to go to church, and not because there was a service, she just wanted to sit and kind of just be in peace. And when she got to the church, she said it was, you know, pretty much no one was there. The pastor was there and there were a couple people, but they had really kind of walked in and out. And she was just sitting in one of the pews and she was just kind of thinking and, you know, obviously a lot going through her head and reflecting on everything. And all of a sudden she felt a hand on her shoulder from behind, and the person said her name and they said, "Peace be with you." And she said, I mean, she obviously immediately turned around because she didn't recognize the voice, but the voice knew her name, and no one was there. And she was obviously very startled. She said it wasn't scary, but it was just, it was more just shocking. So she got up and actually went, and the pastor was coming out of his office, I think, and she didn't even tell him what happened. She just said, "Is anybody working here?" Like, I think they knew some of the people that worked there. So, I mean, she was just looking for any explanation, and there really wasn't one. And I think in the end, she felt like it must have been an angel or something like that. I don't know what to think, but I know that, I know this person because I've seen her at family events when I go to my aunt's house and she comes over, and she's again a very level-headed person. She wouldn't make something up, and I think this really actually was very groundbreaking for her when it happened, because she was so upset and losing her father, and this was just, she said that when the hand touched her, it was like this calming effect went over her, and it was unbelievable. But I thought it was a really cool story, actually, the one, this particular one. And then the other thing that when I got cut off was a lot of things that I've noticed on this podcast as I listen to it more and more, and everybody's stories they share. One of the things that a lot of people say is, like, they realize as they've become adults that things that have happened to them as kids, they may not have realized may have been paranormal. For instance, like an imaginary friend, or thinking that they saw something that wasn't there and they didn't understand that that would have been paranormal. And that kind of reminded me of something. When I was in fifth grade, my friend and I, we were in our art class, and the teacher sent us to get more supplies from the art closet, which is what was on the opposite wing of our elementary school. It wasn't a big elementary school at all, so we just walked around the corner. And the closet was pretty big. It was like, it wasn't like one of those closets where you'd squeeze two people in and you'd be like crushed. It was like a large walk-in closet with all the supplies and a lot of shelving. And the door shut behind us, and we, you know, we collected whatever we needed. I don't even remember what we were getting, but whatever we needed to collect, we got. And then I went to open the door, and I couldn't open the door. And I kind of turned around to my friend, and I said, "The door won't open." And she said, "What do you mean the door won't open?" And I said, "I think it's locked." And she goes, "Well, it can't be locked. There's no lock on it," which I knew that too, but I'm like, "But I can't open it." So she tried to open it. It wouldn't open. And then I tried to, like, push on it with my, you know, the side of my body. And, you know, I said, you know, I almost thought it was kind of funny at first because I didn't understand. I didn't panic or anything. I don't know why, but it was just sort of, it just struck me as what's going on. I never thought anything out of the ordinary. I just thought, how did this happen? How did we get, I figured the door jammed or just got stuck. But it was just odd how easily I walked into that closet. Like, I opened that door myself, and it opened very easily. It wasn't stuck. It wasn't, like, it wasn't sticky or having trouble. You know, like, if you have a door that's getting stuck as you open it, it opened perfectly. So I was like, what is wrong with this thing? And then my friend it was both of us. It would have been a little bit, I would have questioned myself if I had gone in there alone, but because my friend was with me, we both could not budge that door. So finally, like, I said to her, like, "They'll come and look for us." And the next thing I knew, I heard a class coming down the hall, and we just not banged on the door and said, "Hey, let us out." And this kid opened the door, and he just kind of looked at us kind of funny, like, "What are you guys doing in there?" And I just said, "Thank you so much for opening the door. We were locked in." And he just kind of was like, "How are you locked in? There's no lock." And we didn't really look back. We just wanted to get back to our classroom because we figured our teacher was going to be pissed. So we get back to our class, and the teacher's like, "Where have you guys been?" And we're like, we got locked in the art closet, and the teacher was like, girls, seriously. And we're like, I just said, I don't know what to say. I told her what happened. I told her the truth. I think because when you are telling the truth, especially children, I think sometimes you can just sense it. But I just said to her, we got locked in this art closet. I have absolutely no idea what happened. I don't understand, but I could not budge the door. I couldn't open it. And then this kid from the other side opened it without a problem. I look back now and I wonder, was something paranormal holding it shut? I go back to my friend's story in the theater again, that, you know, again, that was a public restroom in the theater, but her husband couldn't push that door open. It was like a cement block, except, you know, she had walked right out of it about 2 seconds before he was trying to push at it, when she said she just got the feeling to get out of there. Same kind of thing. I wonder if I don't remember being scared in there. I don't remember it being cold. I don't remember anything unusual about what happened in there. It was more like the light was on, we got the supplies, and we were just kind of laughing because the door wouldn't open. But beyond that, that was the only weird thing. There was nothing else. I'm not going to tell you, oh, we heard voices or things started flying off the shelves. That didn't happen. Nothing. I didn't notice anything. There was nothing else that was strange, but it was awfully strange that that door would not budge, and neither one of us could move it. You know, it wouldn't even, like, the handle would go down, but it wouldn't even turn the handle to open the door. It was very bizarre. And now as I look back at that, I just think, that's interesting. You know, it kind of like makes you rethink some things. It may be nothing, but I think it's awfully odd that a door wouldn't open that has no lock. So we couldn't have been locked in. I don't even think it's that easy to lock yourself into something like that. And it was just a strange occurrence that I don't have an explanation for. So I just, you know, makes you think, especially as a kid, and I know, like, schools are, you know, kind of can have that history. I actually ended up working in between my junior and senior year of college at one of the similar schools in my hometown. It wasn't the elementary school I attended, but it was a school that was nearby that just, you know, it was a little further away. And I just ended up working in there during the summer. And a lot of times the janitors and everybody would kind of leave by 2:30, and I would have to stay till 3:30. So sometimes I would be alone in the building. And I remember just really getting the creeps. And I never felt that way when people were in there. But when everybody left and I would hear things and think people were walking in, like, but it sounded like doors were opening and I knew nobody was there. It was unsettling. That's all. I mean, nothing. I never saw anything. I mean, I heard plenty, you know, plenty of questionable noises, but I definitely didn't enjoy being in there that last hour. And that went on all summer because I had to do, like, I was doing office work and clerical work and stuff. And I just remember thinking, I don't like being in here. And the school layout was identical to the elementary school that I had gone to. It wasn't the same school, but they had, like, four elementary schools in our town and that were, like, in our whole city that kind of had that same floor plan. And then they just divided everybody up in the city that, like, this, you know, section went to that school. So I knew that school because the school was the same. It was really weird. It was just a different building. But I do remember not liking being in there alone when everybody left. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. I look back on that art closet and I'm like, that was weird. And my friend still remembers it. We're still friends to this day. We still talk. She lives in Arizona now. And she'll even say, she goes, do you remember when we got locked in that art closet and it didn't have a lock? And we'll kind of laugh. But at the same time, we'll go, that was really weird, wasn't it? You know, and we've always kind of said that at the end of laughing about it as a memory. So, yeah, we still remember it like it was, I mean, it was a long time ago, but I can remember it like it just happened and it was very strange. So, well, anyway, I hope that you have a great holiday and enjoy, again, listening. And I think my dad is a new listener officially now, too, because he really enjoyed what I played for him. He loved the camaraderie between you two. He thought you guys were both hysterical, and he loved it. So.
There we go. Thank you for the story and the call and the kind words. What do you think?
Well, the first, because there was different things there. The first one with the person who had somebody say, what was it? Peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was nobody there.
Yeah.
That was a cool story. Like, I really want, like, like, that's one. It's like, I want to know, like, you could be that close to someone, like, when you really need that.
Yeah.
And somebody would tap on your shoulder and do that, but then there's nobody there. But what a beautiful, it's a beautiful story, really.
Yeah, no.
That's not as scary. Oh, my God. Exorcist, barfing, and all that. I mean, that's just a beautiful story. The closet door, I don't know. Could have happened. It could have been that the door just jammed and then it loosened up and opened up. But I do know, going back to that house I lived in, because that same upstairs bathroom, that happened.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't get out of it. And then somebody comes and opens it from the other side. Like, what? And so, I mean, it could go either way. You know, and that's one that you'll never know. And then she did bring up, like, which is interesting, because talking about like being a kid and having things happen, like in that last story, I think it's validating to know that things like that happen to other people. You know, I think I don't know. I think that's just nice to know you're not crazy sometimes. Sometimes you just need to know that. So I don't know. I think there was several things in there that that I found very interesting. I love the fact that her dad is now a listener. Thank you. That.
I do
too. If everybody could go recruit one or two, I mean, I think the world would be a less judgy place, and we could all use that right now.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. I would. Right? It would be a nice.
Just come together with ghosts. It's like, okay, we might not agree on politics, but we could agree that's some crazy ass shit that happened.
Bringing the living together with the dead.
Exactly. We don't care if you're Republican or Democrat.
If you like talking about ghosts. We just want
to talk about weird shit.
Exactly. Life's easier if you just kind of handle it that way. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get you access to all those bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.